Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4, we are closing out in the last few verses as we've been going through the book of Malachi. We go through the Bible expositionally. We go through book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, so that everybody can know what the Word of God says for themselves. I can't just teach things that I like to teach. I can't teach just fun stuff, what everybody wants to hear. God wants us, like Paul said, to teach the whole counsel of God. So we're going through the book of Malachi, and we're finishing that up. I am going to be going in for, I had my kidney removed, so I'm going in for an incisional hernia where they made that. I threw up like right after the surgery, and so it kind of ripped through my stomach muscles. So I have to go, very fun. And so I'm going to be going in for a couple weeks. I'll be here next Sunday. And then I'll be going in for 2 weeks as I've got to get that taken care of by the end of the year. And not because I want to, but because I don't want to pay our deductible again. And so so what we're going to have is you're going to have three wonderful preachers that are going to come up. Lester Seiler is going to come up, I think, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember that correctly. I think he's going to be coming up and sharing 1 week. And he's been, him and his wonderful wife, Peggy, have spent 47 years on the mission, 48, excuse me, 48 and a half years on the mission field. And so that's about as long as I've been alive. And so they're going to teach you the Word of God. And so I would be excited about that. And listen, I enjoy it because I get fed. And so it's a wonderful thing. We also, Pastor Gary is going to be coming up, and God has put a message on his heart. And it's a little scary message. It's a little different. But I know when the Holy Spirit is speaking to Pastor Gary, usually because he doesn't want to do it. But no, I'm sorry. That sounds bad. But just because it's a little scary. Yeah, man. It's just the flesh doesn't want to do it. But so I'm excited to hear. And he's been becoming such a better teacher of the Word of God. I love coming to men's group now, and I'd encourage you all to come as well. And then we also have Pastor Paul Cowley, who spent decades in Africa, in Kenya, who has a discipleship training where he trains up pastors and Bible study leaders in the slums of Kenya. Millions of people will never get out. He's ministered there for many, many years. He's going to also be here and share with the church. And so we're really excited about that. Also, if you would continue to pray for Jim and Mayanne, they'll be, I'm not a Santa fan, but I am a St. Nicholas fan. Santa's kind of what the world's made of, but St. Nicholas loved the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, and he was trying to be an example to the world of the love of Jesus Christ. And so they're going to be in our area. They watch us on live stream from Brooksville, which is about 50 miles north of Tampa. And so pray for them. If you want to see them, some of these Saturdays, the dates and times where they're going to be are up there. We know them. We trust them. They watch us live stream. And so we just pray a blessing over them that people will hear and see the love of Jesus in and through them. So Malachi chapter 4. Last week, man, if you missed that message, whoo, it was a doozy. And so last week, we finished up Malachi chapter 3, where God was talking about giving over all different areas, and one of them being your finances. And that's a difficult thing sometimes. And so he said, test me on this. And normally God doesn't say to test him, but in this he did. And he said that if you do it, you'll be blessed. And we talked about what that means, being forged in the fire. And we talked about, sadly, how many churches are making it all about money. Hey, we're going to pray for an offering, our second offering, our third offering, our super blessed offering. And they're making it all about money and things and prosperity. And listen, God wants you to prosper. He wants you to be blessed. But blessings, we talked about, come in different ways. It's not all about the money, which is kind of what many people have made it into, right? It's kind of a mockery. And yet the folks in many churches don't even know. They think that, you know, the Bible says, you know, godliness with contentment is great gain. You know, other folks just see godliness as a way to become wealthy. And this is kind of at the cross that a lot of churches are worshiping at. And it scares me. It's become almost mainstream. I thought it was gone a few years back. And who would believe the, you know, in prosperity that's about all about money? And it's just kind of come back. be like Paul, who said, "Hey, I don't peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ I speak God's word with sincerity and with truth." And you guys remember that kapaleo in the Greek? It means to make money off of the word of God, or to prostitute it, or to adulterate it. You know, the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money. Money's not good or bad. We talked about a lot about that. Money makes an excellent servant, but a cruel master. But it's not going to help you on the day of judgment. It's a trap, the Bible says. But if you honor the Lord with the wealth, he will bless you. Now, we talked about, does that always mean a financial blessing? No, it does not. We can be blessed in many ways by the Lord. Okay, where are we at? We are about... Okay, so God has been trying to tell God's people, like he's trying to tell us, hey, you're going the wrong direction in this way. Hey, your head's not in the right spot here. Hey, you're moving off course here. And he's telling his people, and he's telling his people, and he's telling his people from a loving heart, from a pleading heart, from a caring heart. And his people are unfortunately not listening. In fact, not only are they not listening, they're treating God with contempt. Whatever, God. How have you loved us? How have we shown contempt for your name? Please, how have we wearied you and defiled you? How are we even supposed to return to you? We're already here. We're doing church stuff. How are we robbing you? How are we sinning against you? What have we said against you? Please. And it just showed the attitude of their hearts. It was a very sad thing. In fact, they got to the point where they said in these last few verses of Malachi chapter 3, They were even saying stuff like, and this is pretty sad to say, you know, what do we gain by carrying out the Lord's commands? You know, betza in Hebrew, it means what do we profit? What do we get out of this old deal? And they had lost that eternal perspective. And the Bible says, for what shall it profit a man if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? It's not all about that. They need to humble themselves. They need to have some humble pie. You know? And then it says, but there was a group. There was a small group. There's always a small group. There's always a remnant amongst God's people that got together. And then it says that they feared the Lord. They loved the Lord. And they talked about the Lord. And they were sincere in heart. And it said the eyes, it said the Lord, the Hebrew word is bent down and listened and heard them. And it says in God's word that the eyes of the Lord are on those who reverence him, on who stand in awe of him. And it says that he records every one of those tears in a bottle. He understands, he knows, he remembers, he sees the suffering. And he left off by saying in chapter 3 that you, me, his people, those who feared the Lord, who held him in high honor, were his treasured possession. You, can I tell you something? To be honest, there are many times, just being honest with you, I don't feel kind of so much like a treasured possession. Just being honest with you. Okay, maybe you do, and if you do, wonderful. I feel more like, we're around Christmas time. I don't know if you remember this. Do you remember the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer claymation series? I don't know if it was claymation, so I'm just guessing. But anyway, remember the Island of Misfit Toys? You know, the train with square wheels. Whatever. You know, that's kind of sometimes how I can see myself. But I can't go there in my mind because God says that I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. He says it about you too. He says that you're his jewel, some of your translations say in the end of Malachi. You're his treasured possessions. That's exciting. Now, that may not be how you see it, but that's how God sees you. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that awesome? It's because he loves you. That's our God. Now, listen. One of the things we talked about at the end of this, and God says, I'm going to bless you. And I'll bless you. And it's not all about the dollar. Okay? Listen. One of the things that one of the scriptures we looked at, and I'm not going to, I just want you to look at this scripture for a minute. And Elijah, I'm going to have you hold this and turn it on in just a minute. But I want you to turn off the lights for a second, Mr. Chris. Thank you. Just look at this scripture picture that I made up for last week. I just want you to think about, remember what being blessed is. Okay? Remember the remnant. There's always going to be a remnant. Tell me what this picture and this word means to you. Just take a few seconds. Those of you at home, you can look about, think about it. What does God speak to you personally when you see this, or when you read this, or when you put it together? What do you notice? Okay, Elijah, will you turn that on? And would you just, I'm going to have you be our runner for today. Would you please run that to somebody, okay? Just raise your hand. What is God saying to you? What is God showing you? What is the Holy Spirit showing to you?
If you're rooted in the Word, when those wrecking balls come, you will stay standing.
Amen.
Doesn't mean they won't come.
Ah, that's right. Trials will come. But what are some of those wrecking balls that can come our way? What is it? Finances? What else?
Health.
What else? Good. What else?
Marriage.
Absolutely. What else?
Children.
Yes. What else?
Temptations.
Amen. Yes. What else? What was that?
Worldly
ways, right? Sure. All these things, we are tempted, right? Anybody else want to share anything, what they notice from this? If you do, we want to hear. Okay, back in the back. Thank you so much. All the way back in the back. All right, good. If there's anybody else, raise your hand. We'll get to you next.
Observing the picture, the guy reading the word, and there's a lot of shrapnel, if you want to call it
yeah,
that.
Yeah, shrapnel, yeah.
But it's not him, it's the ball. So, yes. You know, when we're rooted in the Lord, the enemy can come from any angle. And quite frankly, we'll still be standing. But we do got to keep rooted in the Word and obey it. That's key right there. And
Bingo.
Obey it. Because lots of people read the Bible.
Yes.
Atheists read the Bible.
Yes.
There's a lot of atheists that know it more than I do.
Yep.
Cover to cover. But the and obey, that's key.
Amen. Good word. Good word. All right. I think that's good. Oh, yeah. Got one more there. Yeah.
The ball that falls apart, not the man of God.
Absolutely. Yes, whatever comes at you, that's what's breaking apart, but that's the opposite of what the world is. It's round just like the world. It's going to come at you. It's going to hit you over and over. But if you are rooted and grounded, not only in hearing the word of God, but in obeying the word of God, then you can stand firm. Amen?
He doesn't even seem fazed.
You know what? That's a good point. He doesn't even seem fazed. Yes.
Just that he's focusing on the Word of God instead of the problem, whereas I tend to focus on the problem instead.
Didn't even notice that. That's a really great point. That's right. That's true. Good. Anybody else? This is all great. Okay, one more back there in the back. Sorry, Miss Patty. But that's a really good point. I tend to do that too. I can tend to focus too much on that wrecking ball, right? That's attacking, right? And focus, how do I stop it? How do I, instead of just focus on the Lord, focus on his word, obey him and trust him, whatever comes what may.
His feet is planted on solid ground.
Amen, sister. Good word. His feet is planted on solid ground. Another one right here. Thank you, Elijah. Another one over here, please. Thank you. Solid ground, standing firm, immovable.
Matthew 7:13. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. And he's alone. It's not a well-traveled road. There's not activity. And really, it looks like the wrecking ball came out of nowhere. But he's on that narrow path, and it's not going to be easy. But he will find life.
Awesome. Beautiful, amazing. See, I love how the Holy Spirit just speaks individually to each one of us. But all that is so very true. And just to let you know, since we talked about blessings, listen, God could bless you financially. You know what? If he does, praise the Lord. Use it for his kingdom, right? Use it for his glory. But I just want you to know, this is a little fun fact when it comes to blessings. Everybody right now is so focused on money blessings. The fun fact is, in the New Testament, has approximately 112 references with the words bless, blessing, or bless, and none of which connects blessing to material prosperity. Isn't that interesting? Yet we're all about money. I hope that convicts somebody in the name of Jesus Christ. I do. Now listen, chapter 4 is not an easy peasy. There's only a few verses here, but it's not easy peasy. What I see a lot of churches doing, and this is, again, there's a lot of wonderful churches, okay? Everybody understand that? A lot of good people truly love the Lord, love His Word. You understand that, right? But I'm getting scared of what I'm seeing more and more and more, where they're making it almost like a show. Do you know what I'm saying? It's a show. This is more of a stage. This should be an altar. And they're making it more of that. And I got to be careful I say this, because I love our brothers and sisters. But the truth is the truth. And people are telling folks what they want to hear. Somebody told me literally last week, they listened to the teaching, and they're like, wow, you're teaching the Word of God here. And it was their first time visiting. And I said, yeah, that's what we're supposed to be doing. And he's like, I don't even know what to say. This is great. And I said, oh, well, praise the Lord. You know, he said, I came from a church where, and I don't know this church. They could be wonderful people, and maybe they just made a mistake. He's like, and last week what they did was they said, hey, we're taking a break, and we just watched the Andy Griffith Show on a Sunday morning. Now listen, I like the Andy Griffith Show. Okay, just so you know, I'm not, you know, Andy Opie, Barney Fife, you know, nip it, nip it, nip it. It's a great show. I watched it with my kids. Yeah. However, that's not what we're supposed to be doing when we gather together Sunday mornings in lieu of the Word of God. Does that make sense? We're going to be talking about some harder topics. Even today, we're going to be talking about it. But there's a lot of churches that are seeker-sensitive, and when I hear that, oh, it sounds so nice, being seeker-sensitive is great. If you're looking for the Lord, we want to reach out to you. That part is wonderful. What we don't want is, well, we don't want to mention sin, and we don't want to mention hell, and we don't want to mention things that might make people uncomfortable. Well, can I tell you something? You can't, this is not McDonald's. You know what I'm saying? You can't go to the Word and just pick out whatever you want from it. I just like the blessings, Pastor. I had somebody who I send these scripture pictures out to folks in the body and some folks that are watching online. If you want that, please see me. Give me your number. I'll send it to you during the week. And then I had somebody, they don't go to our church, but they just said, you know what, Pastor, I only like the encouraging scriptures. And they might even be, and if we love them. But you can't do that respectfully, lovingly. Everybody, you have to take the whole Word of God. Right? It talks about things like sin and conviction and things like hell, along with blessings and encouragement, right? And strengthenings. It talks about all these things. Now listen, if it gets to the point, I want to speak the truth. So does Pastor Gary. If it gets to the point where nobody wants to hear the truth, do you know what I'm going to do? I'll keep telling. I may shut down the church. I'll tell anybody who will listen. Anybody who will listen. But I'm not going to tell people just what they want to hear to get more people. Does that make sense? I know how to get money. I know how to get people. I was a salesman. I was a purchasing. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to give you the Word of God. Yes, you have something to say, ma'am? Can we? Oh, you're here. Sorry, we're going to have you repeat that. Thank you so much.
Sorry.
People that don't know Jesus and haven't read the Bible.
Yes.
If they hear these, and it's dangerous because mm-hmm. they can lose their soul listening to these preachers that don't preach the truth.
Yes, ma'am.
And they've never heard it.
Yes.
You know, they could lose their soul.
They don't even know what they don't know.
No, they don't.
Yes, ma'am.
They don't.
Good word. That's an awesome word. And it's so true. I like this little thing, biblical warning. Sugar-coated preaching is dangerous to your soul. Listen, you guys remember this from, I don't know, months ago. But it's 2 Timothy 4, verses 3. It says, a time is coming, and I think it's here, when people will no longer listen to sound, wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires, and they will look for teachers who tell them what their itching ears want to hear. Listen, it's very easy. You know what we have a lot today? I'm going to call them cookie crisp Christians. It just so happens. What are you pointing at? It just so happens to be a box, right, of cookie. You know what I have right here? I saw this in the store this week. And can you get a close-up on this, Jay? I don't know if you are. But this box of cereal is called Cookie Crisp Cereal. You know what? I will allow you to have one bowlful. I did say I would do this for my kids. Now, my mom was against sugar because I was diagnosed, go figure, hyperactivity. Go figure there. Anyway, so sugar cereals were a no-no in our house. But I had my Aunt Judy. She watches also online from Sun City. And Uncle Rick, when I would go over to their house, ooh, it would be such a treat because we would be able to get this cereal, cookie crisp cereal. To me, this was like you handed me a treasure chest full of gold as a kid. Okay, now, this is so sweet and it is so tasty. And I, to be honest, my mouth is, I haven't had this cereal in 30 years. I'm literally, it's kind of gross. I don't want to gross anybody. I'm salivating right now. I'm this close. And I'm like, okay. Now, can I also tell you, all right? So this, for those of you who don't know, is like the most unhealthy thing you could ever possibly eat. it's like no good for you. There's, you know, I'm trying to look for any nutritional value. I mean, it's got, you know, riboflavin, 10% and niacin. I don't even know what that is. That could be arsenic for all I know. Maybe it's good for you. It's got, you know, 15% of your daily allotment of vitamin D. That's with the milk, though. Okay, that's when you have milk to it. Okay, it's basically like 90% sugar. Yeah, naturally flavored cereal. So yeah, it's naturally fortified. Yes, there's about, and if you look, there are 4% magnesium. You know, it's the point I'm trying to make with this. Okay, we're live streaming right now, Pastor. Okay, I'll be honest. I did say that I would let my kids have one bowl just to try it out because it was something I did with the kid. We're not going to eat this. Okay, the point that I'm trying to make is my flesh wants this regularly, right? But we're seeing a lot of cookie crisp Christians, okay? It's sweet, and you might want it, and I might, but is it good for you? Is it? No, you know, inject sugar poison into your kids. Hey, the point that I'm trying to make here with all this, kids, is that what we're seeing more and more amongst Christians is we're seeing cookie. I just want to hear what I want to hear. I just want to do. They have the steadfastness of a muffin. God wants us to learn to persevere, to eat the meat and potatoes, the protein. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Of the meat of the Word of God. Do you know what I'm saying? That's what's going to sustain you. And we need to persevere. How are you going to persevere in your marriage if you don't learn to persevere? Pastor, I can't come to church. Now, there's some folks that texted me that I can't come to church today, so I'm not talking about any people specifically. Pastor, hopefully I don't hit something. Pastor, I hurt my toe today. I don't think I could come today on Sunday. Pastor, it's very cold today. I don't know if I can make it. We live in Florida, for crying out loud. You know what I'm saying? We have to learn to persevere. Your kids are going to go through rough times. You know what I'm saying? Your spouse is going to go through. We have to learn to persevere, folks. With the Word of God, with the body, with each other. Amen? Does that make sense? And not just be cookie crisp Christians. Steadfast, immovable, persevering. Does this make sense to everybody? Are you hearing the heart behind what I'm saying? You need to move up from a cookie crisp Christian and become now steadfast, persevering. Yes, Mark, we'll hand you the microphone. Anything you want to say. So we're getting really far.
You know, speaking of perseverance, if we don't learn to persevere, if we don't learn to endure, if we don't have trials and tribulations,
yes,
how are non-believers going to learn what life is all about?
Yes.
They're not.
Yeah. Yes. And you know what? As we start this, wait, before you give that microphone, Elijah, you can give it back to him. You can just sit there. But there was something you wanted to say. I don't remember exactly what it is, just to be honest, no disrespect. But you wanted to say something as we go into Malachi chapter 4. And I just want to give you an opportunity to do that. So could you?
This week, as I was reading the scriptures that we went over last week, I got to Malachi 3:16 through 18.
Good stuff.
I was incredibly encouraged. And I was also incredibly terrified.
Amen.
Because it says, starting in 16, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name. That's the wonderful part.
Yes.
And they will be mine, says the Lord of hosts. On that day, I will prepare my own possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Now the terrifying part. So you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between the one that serves God and the one that does not serve him. What's terrifying about that is that there is a hell. And he's talking about where people are going to spend eternity. But this morning as I was reading that again, there was a very, very encouraging thing in verse 17. It says, on that day. That means there's still time.
Amen.
There's still time for us to pray for our lost loved ones. There's time for us to intercede on their behalf.
Yes.
And if you don't know how to do that, or if you are concerned about your prayer life, we have a list in the
yes.
back of scriptures that
That's
you can
right.
pray. And you can ask Pastor Gary. You can ask Pastor Darren. You
or
can
you.
Ask Lester. Or you can ask me how to do that. But the other thing the Lord spoke to my heart today was, Mark, what I would have you pray for my people is that they stay engaged. Do not grow weary. Stay engaged in the prayers and in praying for their families. It's great that Pastor D would pray for us or Pastor Gary would pray for us. They've both prayed for me, and the same with Lester. But you know what? That is a specific one-time prayer. I want them to pray for me to stay engaged.
Amen.
Because it's my job to pray for my family. It's not Pastor D's job. So if you want somebody to pray for you, pray and ask them that you stay engaged in the defense of your families.
Amen. Good word, brother. Good word. And that leads us right into the next verses, Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. It's interesting, if those of you guys Bible scholars are like this, in Hebrew, Malachi 4, 1 through 6 is actually numbered Malachi 3, 19 to 24. So this is a continuation of the thought. Does everybody understand that? It's just a continuation. It goes on right where Mark left off, perfectly, by the way. Thank you. It starts off with, surely the day is coming. Now that day, which we'll read about a little bit later, is going to be called the great and terrible day. Okay? He's talking about what the day he's talking about is that day of judgment. And it's having that eternal perspective, because we can kind of tend to think, oh yeah, whatever. Pastor D teaches the Bible. What am I going to do tomorrow? You don't know it. Tomorrow is even going to come. We need to pray. We need to be ready. We need to be reaching out. We need to be witnessing, sharing our faith with others. I know you're scared. I know you don't know how. Do it anyway. I say that to you. I say that to me. Okay? Listen, that day is coming. We have to know that. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 2. Verse 5, just like these people, they were stubborn. They were unrepentant. God kept reaching out, just like today. It says this, because of your stubbornness, you know, talk to the hand, God. Is there something God's talking to you about over and over again and you're not listening? Can I just beg you, lovingly, pleadingly, stop doing that to him. He loves you. But it says, because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, it says you're actually storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his judgment, righteous judgment, will be revealed. There's coming a day. Surely the day is coming. The God is reminding his people who are fearing him, who are loving him. It's coming. It's on the way. It's closer now, Neely said, than ever before. Be ready. Now is the time to get it right. Not in a month, not in a year. Not the next presidency, not today. Amen? Folks, listen. It says in John chapter 12, 48, there is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. In fact, he says, the very words I have spoken will condemn them in the last day. Those are not easy peasy, friendly, oh, happy, sugar-coated words. It's not cookie crisp. But this is truth. You get it? We can't reject him. We can't reject his words. Surely the day is coming, and it is coming. If you do that kind of thing in your Bible, is coming. It's on its way. And it goes on to say, surely the day is coming and it will burn like a furnace. And there's two things I noticed there. The Hebrew word burn is ba'ar, if I remember correctly. Anyway, but what it means is consume. It means to destroy by fire. So what he's saying is that day is coming, when you're going to be able to distinguish that great and terrible day of the Lord between the righteous and the unrighteous. It's going to come and it's going to burn like fire. It's going to destroy. It's going to consume. Pastor, I bought a friend today. This is a little heavy. This is just what the Bible says. That's all. But you have to know it. I have to know it. We need to know it. The day is coming and it will burn. It will destroy. It will consume by fire like a furnace, it says. So your Bibles, all your translations say about the same thing. Does it say like a furnace in your Bible? Oh, like an oven? Okay, that'll work. Anybody else? Okay. Those work. Oven, furnace. The point that he's trying to make here, I believe, this is not an out of control wildfire. Do you know what I'm saying? This isn't a forest fire, oh, happened by mistake, now it's raging out of control. This is more like a controlled burn. Do you know what I'm saying? It's purposeful. It's coming. God is saying the day is coming, it's purposeful, it's going to burn like a furnace. Those who do not listen to me and will reject me and have rejected my son Jesus Christ and reject his word, this is where it's going to end up. Now, that's a doozy. That's not pleasant to hear, but it is the truth. You know, to me, that burning in a furnace, I don't know if it brings to mind this. Do you remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Okay, that was, you guys went with us, if you were with us in the book of Daniel, we went through the book of Daniel. Such an awesome book. Anyway. If you weren't with us when the book of Daniel, that's not their original names. Their Hebrew names were Mishael. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were the names that they were given by their Babylonian captors. And if you remember the story, there was a time when Nebuchadnezzar set himself up an idol and had everybody, basically ruled the world at that time, and wanted everybody to bow down to him. You remember that story? Daniel chapter 3, right? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is like, yeah, not going to do that, king, respectfully. And so he had him brought, and he said, you're not going to humiliate me like this. Well, I'm using the Darren paraphrase version. You bow down to me. When you hear this music, everybody's bowing down. Look at the whole world is bowing down right now to me and my statue. When that happens, and you remember what they said? Shadrach said, listen, oh great king. They were respectful. They said, we want you to know that we will not bow down to the image you made. And he's like, well, I'm going to throw you in a furnace, right? If you don't listen to what I said. And they said, you know, oh great king, listen, our God is able to save us. But even if he doesn't, we will still not bow down to you as a god. Are you a Cookie Crisp Christian? A muffin Christian? Or are you a steadfast, persevering? Now listen, if you're not, you can ask the Lord for that power. I'm not. Okay, do you understand that too, right? I'm not super Christian here. I am a knucklehead who needs the Lord. And it's his power that helps me to persevere. Does everybody understand that? I can't do it on my own. Neither can you. Capiche? But if you remember what happened in the book of Daniel, there's two types of fires that's going to happen right now. There's a fire of refinement for his people where he's burning away the impurities. We already talked about that in the early chapters of Malachi. He's burning away stuff that isn't supposed to be a part of your life. He wants it gone. And in fact, why am I going through this, Lord? Do you remember what happened? It says he heated the fire seven times, I think, hotter. I'm going from memory. If I'm a little inaccurate there. Seven times hotter. In fact, he heated it up so hot, the guards, they bound them with ropes, you remember, tied them up, right? And they threw them in the oven. In fact, it was so hot that the guards, they got the strongest, their Navy SEALs, and they got them, and they bound them, and they threw them in the oven. In fact, it was so hot that it burned them alive, the guards. Burned them alive. But it says they were in the fire, and Nebuchadnezzar noticed that, hey, why are there four men in the fire? And one of them looks like the Son of God. Remember that? And then he called them out, of course. And you remember that nothing was burnt, actually, on their person? Do you remember that? The only thing that was burnt, their clothes, their singed, nothing. The only thing that was burnt was the ropes that bound them up. Amen? You see, what God's doing in your life, let that refining fire burn away all those ropes so that you're not burned in the fire that consumes everything. That there's no coming back from that. Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying? It says in Malachi chapter 4, surely the day is coming and it will burn Ba'ar like a furnace. And it says all the arrogant and the evildoers will be stubble. Now listen, all the arrogant and the evildoer will be like stubble. Ouch. The evildoer in Hebrew is Rasha, and that just means the unrighteous, the wicked, those who don't have the righteousness of Christ Jesus as their shield. In a New Testament thinking. But Rasha, the wicked, the unrighteous, and all the arrogant, all the prideful. Listen, I've had people tell me, Pastor, pride isn't that bad. You know what? Can I tell you something? Listen, I understand. Okay, I'm proud of the work I'm doing here. That's a different thing than when we are prideful, we are arrogant, especially when we're things of the Lord. We don't think we don't need to listen to him. Whatever. Can I tell you what's right in the middle of pride? I is right in the middle of pride. And that's that iceberg. Jesus said something really hard again. Not very fun. We'll have like two people here next week. It's like one person online now. But the bottom line is, Jesus said, you know what? If anyone would come after me, do you want to come after me? Do you want to follow me? He said this. He said, if anyone would come after me, you know what wants you to do? He says, I want you to first, the first thing he says, deny the I. Well, he didn't say deny the I. He said, deny yourself. Do you want to follow me? Deny yourself. Take up your cross daily, because you got to get rid of that I every day. Take up your cross daily, says in Luke, and follow me wherever I go. The arrogant, the wicked, the unrighteous, man, they're going to burn like a furnace. That day is coming. And it says they'll be stubble. Now, what's that Hebrew word for stubble? I can't remember. Panic. Oh, maybe I wrote it down on my slides. I don't remember. Anyway, it says that they're going to burn and they're going to be like stubble. They'll be stubble. Basically, when you're harvesting wheat, the farmers knew what that meant. Jesus talked a lot about the workers are few, the harvest is plentiful, you know, and there's going to be wheat and chaff that grow together. He always mentions these things. But when you're harvesting, there are two things. There's the grain, right? The seeds, the meat, whatever you want to say, okay? That's the usable stuff. That's the nutrition stuff. That's not the cookie crisp stuff, right? And then there's the chaff. Some of your Bibles might say, instead of stubble, it might say chaff. Is that right? Okay. This is what it's talking about, the kernels or the stalks. That's the stubble here. That's the chaff. It kind of looks like this. Oh, cash. Cash is actually, sounds like a K. Anyway, cash. He's saying it means useless. It's like straw to be burned. It's good for nothing. It's useless. Wow. That's pretty brutal. They're going to be stubble. Straw, chaff. Useless for nothing but to be burned. It says, and that day is coming. And it says, and that day that is coming will set them on fire. Eek. Another, welcome to Pastor Darren's non-fun sermon. But the bottom line is, the truth says in Revelation 21, 8 through 9, listen, the cowardly. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I just don't want to be ostracized for my faith. Well, you're going to be. Just the cowardly, the unbelievers, the vile, murderers, sexually immoral. Those who practice the magic arts, idolaters, those who put the I first before God, and all the liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur forever. Not very fun. Revelation 20:15 says, and whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Not fun. This verse in Malachi 4:1, surely the day is coming, it will burn like a furnace. And every arrogant evildoer said this to the Lord or shook their fist and says, and took that stand, I'm not going to follow you. I'm not going to seek you. I'm not going to obey you. Says that day is coming, we'll set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. And then it finishes up verse 1 with not a root or branch will be left to them. Why do you think he said that last part? Not a root or branch will be left. Why do you think? Any ideas? Because everything will be wiped out. Yes. Have you ever, you guys know what pepper trees are? Okay, they're an invasive plant. You guys know those little bead things? I hate them. Anyway, if you've ever cut a pepper tree down, right, you could cut that baby all the way back. But if you leave that branch there, it'll grow back. In fact, there are some plants that my wife has. I don't remember what they are. They're red. There's probably a cool name if you. But anyway, if you cut them, the branch, and stick it in the ground, it'll still grow. If you cut that pepper tree all the way down to the bottom stalk, to the ground, do you know that thing, that stinking thing, will grow back? You have to take the roots out. You have to poison the roots and drill down. So what God is saying is, man, when that day comes, not a root or a branch, there's no chance of that ever coming back. That should be sobering. But here's the good news. The good news is that our Lord says that he is not willing that any should perish. That's not my will. It's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Not just some, all. I love that. 2 Peter 3:9. It's some of you may be drowning in sin. If you're here or online or whatever, you're drowning literally right now. You can cry out to him. The Bible says anyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. There's no difference between Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter if you're rich, poor, whatever nationality, what baggage you have, your background, doesn't matter. It says the same Lord is the Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God is willing to reach down, pull you out of that muck and mire. Verse 2. Okay, speeding things up. Verse 2, it says, but you, it's different. God says, I'd reach down. Many of you have taken his hand and gotten saved. But you who revere the Lord. I love that. You who revere my name. That means, the word in Hebrew is yirah or yireh. And it means revere, hold in awe. Some of the translations might say, you who fear the Lord. But this is all the same words here, if you can hit the lights just for a second. Okay? But you're different, Bible's saying. You who want to talk about the Lord and fear the Lord and obey him. He says in Proverbs 13:13, same word. Whoever despises the word brings destruction on himself. You're doing it to yourself. You're rejecting him. You're rejecting his word. You're going to get what's coming to you because that's what you chose. But, it says, but you, Christian, but you, but he or she who reveres the Lord, yirah, or fears the Lord, the commandments will be rewarded. You who trust in the word and trust in the Lord, whatever comes your way, whatever comes at you, you're going to be rewarded. That fear of the Lord, that reverence for God, and that fear of God is the death of every other fear, Spurgeon said. Like a mighty lion, it chases all the other fears away. Here are a couple of quick scriptures using that exact same word that we see here in Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. And I love this. Psalm 34, 7. Lester did a great sermon on it earlier, I think, in the year. I did a couple of sermons on it this year as well. But the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him or reverence him, yirah, and he delivers them. I want to be in that camp. Amen? The Lord confides in those who fear him. That word in Hebrew is sod, and it means to have intimate conversation. It means counsel. It means to share secrets with. The Lord will share secrets with those who fear him, who revere him, and he makes his covenant known to them. Here's a new one for you. Psalm 115:11. The fear of the Lord. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. If you reverence him, listen, he's going to protect your heart and your marriage. He's going to protect your kids through whatever they're going through. He's going to protect you in your job. He's going to protect you in your finances. He's going to protect you no matter what comes. Listen, God forbid, people are all panicked over, you know, who's president and are we going to get a 4-year reprieve and get somebody conservative, or are we going to get somebody that's going to go the opposite way of the Lord? Oh, what, you know what? I serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So my God is not one or the other. If it ends up being more persecution, God forbid, it's more persecution, right? But I want to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even if it gets really bad, which it will eventually, right? I will not serve your God. I serve the God. Does that make sense? It says in Psalm 115:13, he will bless those who reverence the Lord or fear the Lord, yirah, both small and great, whoever you are. And it says in Malachi, hit the lights for a second. It says, man, those who revere my name. And listen, just in case you don't know, Philippians 2, 9 through 10 says, the name of Jesus is to be revered. It says, therefore God exalted him Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name. And that the name of Jesus, 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 it says every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. You're either going to choose to bow now or you're going to bow in the end. You choose. Gary, how long have I been teaching? Oh, you're kidding. Okay, so we're going to really, I'm flooring it now. You ready? Faster, faster. Okay, for those of you who revere my name, verse 2 says, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healings on his wings, in its wings, and you will go out and leap like calves from the stalls on that day. So just as the sun drives away darkness and clouds, bringing light and joy, so too the Son of Righteousness, which we understand to be the Messiah, Jesus Christ, will rise and he'll bring joy and healing because he's a light unto the world and he expels the darkness. The Bible says, for those of you who don't know, Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of light. Hallelujah. Verse 3 says, and you will go out and leap like calves released from a stall. We have dogs, and some of our dogs roam free, and then some of them are in little crates at night, okay? Let me tell you, every morning, it is like a joy parade in our house with the dogs. When my wife gets up, now they don't do it for anybody else, but they know my wife takes them out in the morning. So let me tell you, when my wife gets up, this is how I interpret it. I'm so happy. And then the ones that roam the house and the ones that are in their little crates, when they get let out of those crates, they are, you know, they're going about 100 miles an hour. Their feet are slipping on our floors. They're jumping over each other. Ruff, ruff. I'm so happy. Come on. I'm free. Listen, on that day that persecution stops, the battle with the flesh stops, all everything stops, and those who know that's what, free. Make sense? Don't you yawn at my sermon. Says in verse 3, then you will trample down the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I do these things, says the Lord. Now, I just got to say one quick thing. I don't think he meant to be vindictive or ugly, but rather factual. The bottom line is, the gross wickedness of mankind rebelling against God and his people shall be burned up like stubble, and only the ashes will remain, and God's people will tread upon the ruins. You know, many of our cities were built on the ruins of what lied before them, and so will the new city, the new Jerusalem. Anyway, verse 4 says, listen, he's giving this command to them. He says, remember the law of my servant Moses and the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all of Israel. God is saying this to you. He's saying, look, in these harder times, I want you to go back. Remember what God has done for you. Remember the word that you put in your heart, that you hid in your heart so you wouldn't sin against him. Remember to do my devotionals daily. Remember those good things that were taught to you. Don't focus on the bad. Remember the law. He would say to us, remember the word of God. The Bible says it, all of it, Old Testament, New Testament, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired or God-breathed. Inspired by God. God breathed and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what's wrong with our life. The Bible says he's given us everything for life and godliness. In fact, when this fire comes, everything's, you know what? It's all going to burn, folks. It's all going to burn. The only thing that doesn't burn is when you hide the word of God in your heart. Jesus said in Luke 21:33, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. He goes on to say, see, I will send the prophet Elijah in verse 5 before that great and dreadful day. It's great because those who seek the Lord will finally be free. He'll wipe every tear from our eyes And we'll get to hear, well done, good and faithful servants. And it'll be a dreadful day because all those who have rejected him will have no more time and they're going to be burnt. They're going to be in a place called hell where if you read Matthew 25, it's eternal. Ouch. It says, I'll send you the great prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day. This is just a little interesting for those of you Bible scholars. It's kind of interesting. The prophet Elijah is mentioned like 30 times in the New Testament. 10 of those times relate back to John the Baptist. Now in John chapter 1, he said that he told the priests and leaders that he wasn't the Messiah. He wasn't the actual person of Elijah. But he came in the spirit and power of Elijah. Luke chapter 1, 11 to 17. The actual person of Elijah and the actual person of Moses met Jesus. Do you remember that? On the Mount of Transfiguration. They were there. The disciples were like, you want us to build some tabernacles for you guys, Jesus? For Moses, for Elijah, for you? And they saw him transfigured in his glorified state. And they didn't even know how to write it. They're like, Jesus, they shone like lightning in his glorified body when he comes back again. And it's my personal opinion, you don't have to agree with me, that these two men will reappear just like they did in Mark chapter 9 on the Mount of Transfiguration. And they'll be the two witnesses that mentioned in Revelation chapter 11. It says one will be able to shut up the sky so it won't rain, just like Elijah did, interestingly. And that one will be able to turn the waters to blood and strike the earth with plagues, just like Moses was able to, interestingly enough. And then verse 6 says this. And it says, he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of their children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. It says he will turn folks back to their... Can I tell you something? 2 Timothy 2:19 says this. God wants you to turn. Just like Malachi, which means in Hebrew, my messenger, God is telling his people, turn. Turn back around. Turn to me. Turn your back on the world. Turn your back on the enemy. Turn to me. It says God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with the inscription. The Lord knows those who are his. And it says, everyone who confesses the name of the Lord, listen to this, must what? Turn away from wickedness. It doesn't say should. It'd be a good idea to. Maybe you should think about it. Must turn away from wickedness. And then it ends with a curse. Kind of weird. It's the only prophetic book of the Bible that ends with this. And in fact, this is interesting. Verse 6, when the Jews read the book of Malachi in the synagogue, do you know what they do? After they read verse 6, they go back and repeat verse 5 again. And this is the reason why they do that, so the Old Testament won't end with a curse. Now, I appreciate their attempt to soften the message, but that's not reality and that's not truth. The realization is it does end with the curse. And for those of you who don't know, the fact is we're all under a curse. The curse of sin. That curse of sin is not escapable. The fire is coming. The day is coming. The only way it's escapable is through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Listen, the Bible says this in Matthew 25, and this is my last slide. In Matthew chapter 25, it says that that they're going to appear before the Lord, and in that great and terrible day, and what's going to happen is there's going to be those, the sheep and the goats, and those on the right, you know, he's going to say something wonderful too. He's going to say, the ones on the right, the king says, this is in Matthew 25, I'll just read it to you. The king says to those on his right, come, you who are blessed, remember that from last week? You're blessed by my Father, take the inheritance, the kingdom that was prepared for you since the creation of the world. Be blessed. But to those on the left, those who rejected God and his word, do you remember them? The goats, this is what he says to them. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are what? Just like the end of Malachi. Into the eternal fire prepared for his devil and his angels. And it says, they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous through eternal life. Man, oh man. Here's the gospel in a nutshell. I have a guy who texted me. He watches from, he's another pastor, and he watches processing. Oh, I'm forgetting, I'm so sorry. Up north, northern Florida, mid-northern Florida. And he came here a few times, and they're wonderful people. And now he's saved, and now he's pastoring. It's pretty wonderful. But here's the bottom line. I want to leave you with the gospel. And the gospel is God created us to be with him. In the beginning, he walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. They walked together. They conversed together. They shared secrets together. It was beautiful, intimate, wonderful. But our sin separated us from the holy God. He had one command. Just don't eat from the tree of life, that one. And they did it. And you would have done it too. That's our sin nature. And so that sin separates from us from a holy God. And those sins can't be removed by being a good person. Listen, if you're saved, you'll be a good person because you want to honor the Lord and he'll empower you to do that. But you can't get saved by being a good person. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't work your way to heaven. Make sense? That sin separates us. He is a good God and a loving God, but he's also a holy God, right? You can't just say, oh, God's so good and he's loving you. I'm the friend of God. But you also have to realize the other side. He is holy and he's righteous and he's just. You have both aspects of God. And here's the deal. Jesus paid the price for that sin. He took all your sin and he said, you know what, sister? I'm going to take all your sin, every little bit of it, past, present, and future. I'm going to take it upon myself. Not only am I going to pay your debt of sin, which is unpayable. He's like, I'm going to live the life, and he lived the perfect life. He says, I'm going to give you my life as well, and I'm going to put it into your account. And it says, and he died and he rose again, saying, and this is truth, that everyone who trusts in the Lord alone for their salvation will have eternal life. That's amazing to me. And life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. So I just want to take 1 minute and pray. If there's anyone here who has never really made that commitment, I just want you to, I'm not asking you to say magic words or whatever. This is all between you and God. And if you're listening at home, God is calling you. Today is the day of salvation. Do not harden your hearts to him. Hear what's been said. The reality is surely the day is coming. So let's bow our heads and pray. And Lord, we just ask if there is anyone here listening right now that does not know you, that does not obey you, that does not listen to you, Lord God, we ask that you would stir their hearts right now. If there's any of us here who are in that refining fire and we're struggling, we ask in Jesus' name that you would empower them, Lord God, that you would burn off anything that's not of you, Lord God. Not of you. Burn it off, Lord. Any sin that entangles, Lord God, anything that binds them up, in Jesus' name, burn it away, Lord God, so they could be a better witness for you, Lord. And for those who don't know you, Lord, let today be the day where they say, God, I know I'm a sinner, Lord. I don't even understand all that's being said, but I know that I want to know you, I want to obey you, and I want to love you, Lord. I know you died for my sins and you rose again from the dead, and I want to be a part of that. I'm asking you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, I want you to come into my life, Lord. Just tell them that in your own words. Lord, come into my heart, come into my life, make me new, Lord, and help me to live my rest of my life for you, Lord. As best as I know how, I'm giving you my life, Lord. I'm denying myself. I want to take up the cross and follow you wherever it leads. I don't want to be a cookie crisp Christian. I don't want to be an unbeliever. I don't want to be part of the wicked and the arrogant. I want to follow you, Lord. And Lord, will you save them this day and set them on a new course, give them a new heart, a new spirit, reconnect them to you, Lord God. May they be born again by the Holy Spirit of God Almighty, Lord God. And may they follow you all the days of their life, so that they may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So bless your children here today, Lord God. We thank you for them. Bless them this week as we go about our business. May our business be your business, Lord, to make you known, because surely that day is coming. Help us to hear you and obey. in Jesus Christ's name. And all God's people together said, amen, 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 amen. Good job. You made it through the book of Malachi. God bless you guys. Have a great week in Jesus' name.